You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Okay, I'm not going to put you through another intro. Welcome. It's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I am your host, a Bad Bat Cast, otherwise known as Rob DeVore, or the other way around, however you want to put it. And thank you all for calling in, and got Mr. Landing Crew on the phone, Mr. Wheeler, and Mr. Wheeler hosts the Mid-Atlantic Report on Wednesday nights right here on the network at 8 o'clock. So tune in if you're in the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake Bay area, or you just like the show and you don't watch TV. That's all good, man. How you doing, Mark?
What's going on, man?
I'm here, man.
Doing good, man.
I'm here. All right. Well, as you know, cooler weather is upon us. It's not cold yet, but it's getting there. You know, all of you up northern folks are going, wow, wintertime? This is cold weather? Yeah. You know, 60, you know, I woke up this morning, I had my windows open, and I was rather frigid when I woke up. So, yeah, 60 is like 30 to me. So, and of course, everybody knows that. So, we're going to talk about tonight some cold weather gear, getting ready for cold, because this winter I'm not staying home. Last winter I kind of stayed home because I'm a wimp, and I'm afraid of the cold. I'm allergic to the cold, and me and cold weather don't get along. I'll be out in the kayak all day long, 95 degrees, and not complain ever. As long as I got enough, you know, water to drink and stuff, I'm good, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and see who all's fishing and who all's been fishing. And looks like LGB is in. He hunts, so we'll probably talk about some hunting. It's not something I do, but we'll see. We'll see what's going on. So anyway, welcome to Tuesday night. You might want to check out yakangler.com if you're not a member. You should be if you like kayak fishing. So jump on there. It's free to register, free to use the site. And there is a wealth of kayak fishing knowledge on there, from novices to experts. So make sure you tune in there, check it out. There's a lot of good stuff happening there, a lot of good information in the forum, and quite active. Of all the fishing forums that I know of, that one gets quite a bit of activity. Forums and sites and everything else. So if you like kayak fishing, make sure you check out yakangler.com. So anyway, what's the word from the bird, Mark? You getting your new kayak tomorrow, eh? You getting the, what are you getting, a Tarpon 150 or 130 or something?
No, the Ride 135.
Ride 135, there
edition.
You go.
It's
can't beat that.
For y'all, hang on, I've been drooling over the pictures and the stats. Give me one second. It's actually my background. Shut this down. This.
Well, when he gets ready, I'm sure he's... Mark, you're all excited about it, man, because you're going to pick up a new kayak. So,
Well,
where was your kayak leaking anyway?
In the stern where I drag it everywhere.
Yeah, I think I got the same problem.
You know, and it's one of those things where I've patched it, and it was like a monthly patch. And I was using epoxy, plastic.
I was going to say, what
are
you
using? I went ahead. What was that?
What are you using to patch
with? Epoxy patch. That was some of the stuff I was using. Using, you know, welding plastic into there. I've even gone ahead and put a metal sheet metal patch over top of it.
Wow, really? And
anything I can think of, yeah. No.
Oh, man. Wow.
But,
so how bad was it getting?
It got bad enough that about a week ago, I got out there and I hit an oyster bar. Luckily, it was close to the shoreline.
Oh man!
I could hear it, blunk, 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 sucking. I started going, "Wow, I just cannot paddle." And I looked at my stern. My stern was underwater, and I was about 45 yards from the shoreline. And I just, went schizo and paddle like crazy. Finally, it started coming over the side of the gunwale, and I took my anchor and lashed that to the kayak, jumped out, swam to the shoreline, which is about another 25, 30 yards, and dragged the kayak all waterlogged all the way in.
Man, how much water was in it?
It was underwater. I could only see the tips of the rods by the time I got it to me.
Oh, my God. That's not
very heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
So I went ahead and drained it out, put it on top of the truck, drove as I was driving home. I was dialing Vic at FMAX River Company in Yorktown, saying I'm going to need one by next week. He's like, I could have it here the next day.
Now, why couldn't you... Why couldn't you take and all of your plastic and stuff that you like to melt and burn and mold and stuff, maybe patch up some of the patch up a good section of the stern and then put like a skid plate over it to kind of keep it from getting knocked off. Stick some JB Weld in there or something. I mean, I don't know. What do you?
Well, the problem is that
Nice.
The more you screw with the natural shape that's already there, your kayak's just not gonna ride right. You're gonna paddle, and for whatever reason, you just keep turning left like a NASCAR driver. It's because you have a knob of gunk on one side, or it's just not even. And it's just like if you had your hand out the window, when you're driving 60. If you just tilt it upwards a little bit, barely anything to talk of, you're shooting up in the air, same thing. So, you got to find that equilibrium, and it's tough. It's really, really tough. So, and I looked at a bunch of other kayaks, and Moken's got the one with the tire in the back.
Yeah.
I've never felt comfortable with that setup.
Go ahead.
Wildy has the brain fart, the removable keel. So you can actually take where you've been dragging it and remove that piece of plastic and put a new one in with, a stiffle screw or something like that.
Yeah, Ocean has that, too, which I thought was really neat. And, for folks like me, I drag mine a lot, too, especially getting it up and down the stairs. And I think that's where my problem is, because coming down the stairs, the stern gets drugged probably a good 6 feet on the concrete, on the sidewalk, so... And I know that that's never good for it, so I know it's just a matter of time till I'm in the same boat you are, but I don't know, man. I'd caulk it, patch it, do whatever to try to keep it from happening. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'll figure something out.
I know that when you get a hold of it, you'll see it. and that's why with those Malibus, Mark mentioned it last night, those stuffers.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes, I've heard, and that's not the first time. That's not the first time I've heard that. Greg, Hammerhead Greg, said that he had the same problem with his X Factor too. So, it's not the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's definitely lame, because it's I don't know. I know you beat the heck out of your kayak too, and so do I. It takes a beating, and it's a pretty tough thing there, man. And they're hard to sink, man. But when they finally do get torpedoed like that, I guess you gotta look at other options. Oh man.
Well,
so
my major thing is that the ride, I've had this thing for 4 years now. And finally, I've got to the point where it's like, I can't do it anymore. That for me is a selling point because it's so reliable. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, I'm trying to talk Chris into, she can't get audio. I'm trying to talk her into it. So keep talking. Okay. Does anybody else having any trouble here in the show tonight? If so, give me.
I actually had to hit the play button on the player.
Yeah. Well, she's even been to the Blog Talk Radio site, and she still can't get audio. So I don't know. It might
take it
might
off
have
mute.
Some.
Sorry, Chris. Why isn't the vacuum not running? Did you plug it in?
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay, so everybody's got, LGB had to reload the page. Usually you got to reload the page at 8 o'clock and hit the play button 9 times out of 10. And that should work. Technical issues right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. And it's not me this time, man. Have I had any technical issues since I got the Mac? No.
No. Man,
no.
That was a struggle we had. Woo! Sitting there.
Oh, my
back
God.
Back with me.
It's a mystery, man.
We're sitting there talking to you, and all of a sudden it's like, Rob. Well, apparently we lost Rob again, so back to the subject.
Yeah, man, the Skype would just die on me in the middle of the show. I had all kinds of problems, man. All kinds of issues with the old, but ever since I've had the Mac, I've had very few technical issues at all, you know, on anything.
Yeah.
So I know that Chris is using a Mac, so but sometimes I know with Facebook it gets some of the applications in there, it gets kind of testy with that. All right, Chuck's in there. He says it's okay for me to take him off mute. So Chuck, are you there?
Yo.
You wanted me to take you off mute, right?
Right.
Awesome.
What it is.
Yeah, what it is. There it is. Yeah. KFR is haunted, the paddling fan is saying, because it's Halloween. All right, she's got it. Good deal. Well, welcome to the show, Chris, and thank you for coming in. What we're going to talk about tonight, which I said before, but everybody wasn't listening, so I'm going to say it again. We're going to talk about some cold weather gear because the cooler weather is coming. It's not winter yet, but it's coming. And if you're allergic to the cold like I am, you probably want to be a little bit well protected out in the kayak. Because first, I'll tell you, the first things on me that go are my hands and my feet. And I just want to crawl up under a nice little blankie and go to sleep when I get like that. So I know I'm a wimp. I know it. So so anyway, we're going to talk about that tonight. Mark, Mr. Wheeler, are you going fishing this weekend?
If the winds die down to, you know, under hurricane force speeds, then yeah, I'm going to be out. You know, I've got a new kayak. It's like Christmas Day, man.
Yeah.
You know, you open up the bike and, oh, screw every other present. I'm going out biking now. You know, so.
Yeah, I know, right? At Christmas time, I usually get a bunch of fishing stuff for Christmas, you know, because that's the only thing that people know to get me. So, I'm notorious for going fishing on Christmas Day. as long as it's not too nasty. One year I was out, a couple of years ago, I got a bunch of fishing stuff, and I'm like, hey, yeah, let's go fishing, and went fishing, and it was awesome. I was out wading, the water temperature was like 75 degrees, it was a beautiful day, and had redfish like 3 feet away from me that were just swimming by, not interested in anything. So yeah, definitely, man. So I can imagine you, Mark, with your new kayak and everything. It'll probably take you a couple of days to rig that thing up, though, won't it? You'll probably be broadcasting from the garage tomorrow, rigging your... Hold on a second. You know, drilling stuff together, man. So I know it. I know how it is, man. Good deal. All right, and so Chuck, are you fishing this weekend?
No, sir. I will be going down to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show.
All right. And that's cool. What, are you doing something for Jackson down there or something?
No, just I got my friends are going to be in town from England, and they like to go down to boat shows and look around and see if they can spend some of their hard-earned English money. So they
fishing
asked
chips.
Me if I would join them, so I'll be more than happy to do so.
Fish and chips.
There you go.
It's awesome. Dude, I love my friends from England. They're awesome.
English people are the best people in the whole world, man. I don't care what anybody says.
And every time, I'll tell you, being in the band and playing in England and everything, like the drunkest I've ever been in my life, ever. Every time was in England or Ireland, one of the two. It's like, it just, there's something about that that just, I just get so schnockered that, I can tell some funny stories, but I won't. I'll spare you all because it's not Rob Drunk Radio. It is Kayak Fishing Radio, and sometimes I get off subject, but I usually try to bring it back home. So anyway, talking about cold weather gear today, man. And I was looking on BassPro.com. I put up a little post in the forum trying to get folks to, you know, get some advice on some cold weather gear. And two things that I'm looking for that will get me out on the water when it's cold out. Because you got to remember, folks, being in Florida, and I've been in Florida since 1984, when it's 60 degrees, it's like it's 40 degrees to you guys, okay? And when it's 50, it's like it's 30. So that's really, 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 it's not fun for me to be cold. So two things that I need is quality waders without having to break the bank because, you know, like everybody else, I'm on a budget. And some sort of waterproof gloves that you can still, like maybe that have the fold backs on them with fingerless gloves underneath or something like that. Or not waterproof, maybe water resistant is more what I'm looking for. Hey, there's Rob Choi. Rob Choi's in the chat room. Kayak Kevin's in there. Greetings to you all. Greetings to everyone. And somebody, the paddling fan, Jerry, howdy, howdy. Everybody's in. Waders and gloves. So I was looking at Bass Pro, and there's a whole line of waders that you can get, and it's basically how much money you want to spend. All I'm pretty much worried about is, you know, dressing, and what I want to do is dress in layers underneath the waders, and then, you know, you got the waders to basically keep you dry, you know, or drier, without having to sweat to death in them and everything else like that. So we'll go down the line and see what kind of advice that you guys have for, you know, fat bald guy like me looking to get some new waders. So Chuck, what should I look for, man, when I'm looking for some new waders to keep me dry and a little bit, maybe I'm not looking for warmth. I'm just looking for dryness pretty much.
Comfort. Comfort's okay. The first thing that comes to mind. And I'll tell you what, man, I've never really been a waiter guy. I've always shied away from them. Every year we get a couple of people over on my coast that drowned in waiters because they step off into a pothole or whatever, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
This past year was my first year of having my own set of waiters that were actual legitimate waiters. My wife bought them for me for last Christmas. From Bass Pro Shops, as a matter of fact, and they're part of their White River, I believe they call them, line. It's their fly line or whatever, and they're the best thing I've ever had in my entire life. I stayed extremely warm all winter long. I spent more time in the water waiting than I did in the kayak, and it, as far as dry goes, dude, those things were just amazing, and the little feet, they have the neoprene booties. I didn't opt to go out and get a pair of expensive wading boots just because I don't walk across rocks or shells or any of that kind of thing. Everything I'm standing in, sand and mud. So if I wore shoes while I was wading with my neoprene booties on, I'd just wear a pair of old tennis shoes. But definitely, if you're going to do that, get a size bigger than what you normally wear. So that
shoe size, you mean?
Right, so that you can fit those neoprene booties down inside the shoe itself, because they're quite a bit thicker than a normal pair of socks. So, but my cold weather outfit, so to speak, consists of a long sleeve cotton shirt, a sweatshirt, either a beanie hat or just a ball cap. If I'm wearing a sweatshirt, it's going to be a hoodie, and then my waders. I don't wear gloves per se because I just like to have the dexterity. So, but that's it, man. And I stayed super warm. I was never cold this entire winter, or last winter, I should say.
Yeah, that was another thing I wasn't sure about. And Rob Choi just cleared that up for me. Is go for breathable waders, not neoprene, if you're looking for comfort. Also, I saw two different styles on, you know, most of the things that I looked at, and it was either boots or they had neoprene feet. So that was the two things. I'm not really sure, you know. I mean, the last time I had waders on was like 1980 in, you know, the St. Lawrence River. I know technology has come a long way, so that's why I'm trying to clear that up. I've also heard Frog Togs makes a pretty nice set of waders, but I'm not sure if they have any that are in my budget. All right, Mr. Wheeler, Landing Crew, what's your advice on waders? You okay?
Yeah. A relief zipper. Oh, yeah. Relief zipper, man.
Okay.
I don't know about... I know you're looking for dryness, so you've got places where you can pull over and, you know, strip down if you need to. But
you actually wear something underneath the waders?
Well, up here, yeah. I've got a pair of.
I'm kidding.
And if it gets really cold, you know, layers, no cotton.
Yeah.
No. You know. Wool, you know, if you can handle wool, you know, wool is you know, the old standby. But the Under Armour stuff, I've got a set of their base layers, and I've got a set of their base layer number twos, which are perfect for what we do. That's my base layer. Then I usually just throw a shirt over top. Go like that.
I do the, instead of the Under Armour stuff, I do the Starter Dry Stars, and right now they're all on sale. They're all out at Wally World, Target carries Champion. It's the same, they're all the, you know, same, you know, dry, fast drying Dry Star stuff, and let me tell you, that stuff is great. I love that stuff, and it's great in the summertime, but it also helps insulate in the winter too. So I have plenty of that stuff. And yes, you're right. Layers is the way to go. Everybody, Mr. Lozier is suggesting booties, as in stocking feet, not the boots.
Yeah.
So far, everybody is suggesting no boots.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, and what I've read,
boot style?
Some of the reviews I've read is that's where you get a lot of leaks from, is the boots.
Well, it's not that. The boot style were meant for your...
Wading rocks and stuff?
Wading rocks and the hunters. Hang on one second.
Yeah, are you killing a cat there?
Having children issues. So, but yeah, stay away from the boot style because they get really hot. You know, I've got a pair, and they're matched with a 3 mil neoprene wader, and that's when it's like 20 degrees outside, and I need to get my fix. You know, and then my duck hunting setup, you know. But yeah, stick with the stocking foot. What would work for you is a pair of old tennis shoes or even a an old pair of Jesus sandals.
Oh, I got tons of those, man.
Yeah. Those work
great.
Because you don't worry about climbing little rocks and getting the stocking foot snagged. Those sandals, and you'd be golden.
If you remember, when you were here, I have more shoes than any straight man should have.
That is right.
So I have a lot of shoes, so that shouldn't be a problem. Now, let me ask Chuck this real quick. Now you know how I don't know about you, Chuck, but when I get cold, the first things that go are my hands and feet, and as long as I keep those warm, I'm pretty good most of the way. What do you suggest for gloves? Now, last time I was over at Bill Jackson's, they have the awesomest skiing gloves. They're like, I don't think they're fur lined, but it might be pseudo fur or something. But that thing, I put my hand in one of those ski gloves, and it was like you know, going back to, you know, the womb or something, man. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It was the most amazing thing in the world. So, what do you got? What would you suggest for gloves that you might be able to actually do something with? You know, tie something with them on, or do you know of any that have like the breakaway fingers where you can have like fingerless gloves and then put them back or anything like that?
No. Again, I don't wear gloves. Just because I like to have the dexterity to be able to tie knots and everything.
Yeah.
But what I do is I get a good dozen or two packs of those hot hands that we usually use hunting. It's just a little packet that you kind of roll back and forth in your hands, and it warms up real warm. And my pair of waders that I have a pocket in the chest for your hands to go in that kind of keep your hands warm.
Okay.
And after tying knots or getting my hands wet or whatever, I'll dry my hands off with a towel and then stick my hands in my little chest compartment there for a second, and my hands are toasty warm within seconds. So,
good deal. What kind of gloves?
Gloves?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, if I were to wear some gloves, I mean, the only thing that I know of that would be kind of wicking material-ish would be... there's some dive gloves that are out there that are pretty good for dexterity, and as far as keeping your hands relatively dry. But I don't know. I'm not real versed in that kind of thing.
You don't use gloves when you're out, like when it's cold?
No gloves, man. I kind of grin and bear it, and then when I need to get my hands warm, I just stick them in that little chest deal on my waders. With the hot hands, and I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, because my hands will get cold when it's 60 degrees, man. And feet aren't too far behind. And, I mean, sometimes I don't know about you guys, but I can't ever keep my hands dry when I'm fishing. So I was just trying to think of a way to kind of keep them dry and maybe have some sort of a glove that isn't going to be like, you know, a soaking wet sock, you know, within a half an hour after, you know, getting in the water. You know, maybe have something that I could possibly be able to use and still, you know, when you take your gloves on and off, you're looking to dunk one in the water, man. Unless I, you know, put some string on them and, you know, run them through the sleeves like, you know, like your mom and dad used to do when you were a kid. I don't want to dress
mittens,
like the kid
dude.
From...
Mittens.
Yeah. Oh, I know, man. Actually, I used to have a really nice pair of fleece mittens that had the breakaway hands that were, you know, were fingerless gloves, and you could use it, and, you know, if you could just... it even had the breakaway thumb, you know, which was... It was awesome. But, I don't know what happened to those. Dog ate it or something. No, I would, you know, once you get them wet, you know. But then again, you know, I want to be comfortable, too. I don't want to go out there looking like the kid from the Christmas Story, you know. Hey, guys, wait! You know, can't even put your arms down. Oh, man. So, that's my plight. All right, let's go back. Everybody's suggesting glacier gloves.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you think about glacier gloves?
They are, if you cannot handle having your hands cold or your fingers cold, buy a pair of glacier gloves, man. You don't have to, do the thumb or the finger. You can, you know, keep them the way they are. I've got them modified for different things.
Are those the pseudo fleece? They're like fur lined inside or something?
Mine don't have... I've got the older style of glacier gloves, the old school style, where it's just straight up neoprene.
Okay.
And they... my hands do get wet when I'm wearing them, but the water gets trapped in there, and your body heats up the water, and that's what keeps you warm. It's like a wetsuit. But, you know, I don't wear gloves. I get to where I'm paddling, and if I need to, you know, warm my hands up, I do the you know, play with my boobies technique, stick my hands in between my life jacket and my body, let them sit there for a second or two, and, you know, keep on going. Plus, it cools down my chest and everything else, so I'm creating that airspace, so I'm not sweating. You know, sweats, you know, you could have a million layers on to keep you warm, but the moment you start sweating is when you are done. Better off just packing it up, going back, and driving home, because it's not worth it.
I know, dude. One thing I can't stand is being cold. I get in a really bad mood, too. But, you see, you're ex-USMC, so you don't get cold.
Whatever, man.
They teach you, like, all kinds of, like, Jedi mind tricks and stuff to, like, not get cold. You just go, you know, you're not allowed to get cold without permission or something, and, you know, you're good. I'm kidding. Yeah, so, all right, well, that's some good advice, man. And, of course, Mrs. Lozier says not to... to make sure that you follow the instructions on the hand warmers. And Kayak Kevin says...
Seriously.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude, I had a buddy of mine. I hunt as well. And I love to turkey hunt. And where I used to turkey hunt a lot, it gets pretty cold. And one of my buddies was using them. And I don't know, I guess he must have accidentally split the bag or whatever, but he ended up getting really bad burns on the palms of his hands. And he didn't even realize it until, like, I don't know, the sun had come up and warmed up everything, and
man.
You tend to kind of, like, fall asleep where if you're sitting, if there's not a lot of things going on, and with your hands being so cold and your whole body being so cold just from it being cold outside, you don't really realize that your hands are basically burning because they just feel nice and warm, you know? But the chemical agent that's inside of these packs just literally burnt and hit both palms of his hands. He had to go to the hospital and they thought they were going to do skin grafts and everything. So
wow.
Pretty legit stuff, man. But it is like the hand warmers. They make foot warmers too, but the hand warmers to me is like Thermacell in the summertime. Like you have to have it. It's just one of those things.
Those gloves those mittens on Kayak Kevin's page, those are awesome. And that's exactly what I was talking about, man. I had something, they were like that, but they were fleece, all the way around. But those look good. Those look water resistant and they break away so you can have your, so you can keep your, you can tie knots and stuff, man. That's awesome. All right, Mark Lozier's checking out. Thanks for coming in, man. All right. Take care. I'm sorry. It's Rob Choi's leaving. Thanks for stopping by, Rob. And thanks for the advice on waders, man. Awesome. All right. Okay, they are fleece. Now Kayak Kevin's saying they are fleece. Okay. Yeah, so that's on Kayak Kevin's page, on his how-to page, if you're listening to the podcast. Awesome. Okay, let's see, where else am I? So, yeah, I was looking at the White River stuff on Bass Pro, and they're anywhere from, $70 to $100, depending on what you're getting. I don't know, man. I'm looking at some of this stuff, and there's like a $500 pair of waders, man. I mean, I'm thinking that thing better like tie knots for me, cast, and help reel the fish in, if I'm paying $500 for a set of waders, man. And you better never, ever, ever be cold in those things.
Not cold enough. Florida to warrant $500 waders.
Maybe you. Put the warmers on upside down, they stay cold. Talking about foot warmers that have it. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Cool. All right. Yeah, man. Some of those hand warmers things, I've heard. I had a pair one time. This is like back in the day. And had a friend of the family want to go out and go hunting when we lived in upstate New York. And I'm like, dude, we lived out in the sticks. And I'm like, man, okay, well, we went out and we got lost, okay? And it's getting dark. And I remember being out there and I was so dang cold. And it was about this time of year, hunting season had just started and everything. And I had to stay out there the entire night, man. I'm like laid up against a tree. I don't think I slept one iota, I was pretty young back then, but I don't know, man. I just can't stand being cold. So sorry, you all know that by now. And I reiterate that. So, Chuck and anybody else, Mr. Wheeler, I got days off. I got 4-day weekends every the whole entire month of November. So, Chuck, when are you good? when are you free? Because I can't plan my schedule that far in advance.
Okay. Buddy. But I'm definitely going to try and make it over there to fish with you at some point during that stretch.
Okay. Well, I was going to come over to your side. And
or we can do that too. And it's even more convenient for me for my schedule. So either way, but just, what, man? Actually, just let me know when it's good for you, Rob, and I'll make it happen, buddy.
Well, like I said, I got 4-day weekends. I'm off every Monday and Friday the month of November, if you need it.
Sweet.
Plus Veterans Day weekend and Thanksgiving and everything else. So I'm only going to be working about 10 days next month. It's awesome. So hopefully I can get out and get on some fish. Hopefully I can get some waders by then, too. So I'm not freezing. Water temp's down to, it was 70 today.
I will have my brand new Jackson kayak by then.
Really?
Yeah.
When are you getting it?
I think they're supposed to ship the end of the month, end of this month. So I should have it hopefully the first week or two, I would imagine, of November.
No kidding.
Yeah. Super excited.
What color
are
you
excited? That's my excited sound in my voice. Super excited. What color am I going to get? I think I've pretty much settled on the Black Widow. It's pretty cool. It's a red and black marbled kind of thing going on. Kind of fits my personality. So I'm going to go with that.
A Black Widow?
Yeah, that's going to be one of them. I'm only going to order one to start with just until I get rid of my other two boats that I need to get rid of. And then I'm going to order another one. And the second one I'm going to get is what they call Yellow Jacket, I believe. Like the bug. And it's a yellow, white, and black kind of a marbled mix. It's really cool. They have the standard colors, just a regular red, regular, sand and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then they have two or three different camo colors. But I'm really digging like the kind of off the wall mixture of colors. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I think it'll stand out a little bit and might draw some attention at the boat ramps and get people asking questions about it.
You attention hound. Hey. Mr. Wheeler, what color kayak did you order?
I went with the camo.
Wow. Did they charge any extra?
No.
Okay.
Nope, not a penny.
Okay, that's cool. Just checking. Just, got to see what color folks are getting, man. See what y'all are into.
I get the camo because I duck hunt, and, it's better to duck hunt with something that's camo than something that's orange, so.
Okay, well, duh.
Makes it easier.
I just figured that
you. Do you know if anybody makes a? Do you know if anybody makes a slip for the oceans? Like a kayak, a slip, like a kayak sock to kind of camouflage it if you wanted to. Like I know, there's a couple manufacturers of duck boats that make an actual. It's basically like a big sock that you would just pull over the top of the boat. In fact, I think there is a kayak company that's making, you know who it is? I think it's Native. I think Native makes one, or somebody makes one that fits a Native for duck hunters. And it's almost like a blind, it looks similar to a traditional duck blind.
Yeah. I've got a handmade, homemade duck blind that, fits in, the deck loops. They added my old kayak, and then he was just some foliage looking stuff. Because I don't need a whole lot because I jam myself up against the bank, and usually I need a couple of trees. I was set.
Mr. Lozier says that yes, Native does for Ultimate. They do make that. So that's cool. I did. Mark, you getting all set up for. Your GoPro is all set up for duck hunting?
I can. And that's how I like these GoPros is I've got on my turkey gun, I've got the rail, the Picatinny rail. And GoPro has a Picatinny clamp to put your GoPro on your gun. So hopefully this spring I can, run the GoPro while I'm hunting for turkeys and
Did you see the? Did you see the GoPro video for the duck hunting video that they did? I mean, they even put cameras on the dog. It was pretty cool. If you're into that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I got the GoPro 2 on order.
You do?
Yes, sir.
What's a GoPro 2?
The new and improved version of the HD Hero.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's the one that I have.
Yeah, it's got some extra features and got some different resolutions and stuff. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I love mine, man. I think that does a great job. It has its limitations. It doesn't zoom or anything like that, but as far as, you know, an HD camera that does what it does, I think it's awesome myself, so I'm happy with it. Yeah, I know that Mr. Wheeler is definitely happy with his, too. I just need to get out fishing so I can and actually get some good footage so I can do some stuff, man. Editing.
I was super stoked that was actually a benefit of joining the fine folks over there at Jackson, is that it's just by being on their fishing team, you're automatically put on the GoPro Pro staff as well.
Yeah, if it's the same, if you get the same deal that that Yak Angler does, then for GoPros, that's actually a really good deal.
Yeah.
Wonder if you can get a double good deal on that since you're on
double deal.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
double
man.
Deal.
Let me see. So we already talked about where everybody's fishing this weekend. I'm going to try to get out. The tides aren't great. I'm actually going out later in the day. Low tide, and it's not super low. It's only, I believe, 0.3 feet down. Low tide is at like 11:30 in the morning. So we're thinking about taking off like right about noon or so and hit the incoming tide. Where we're going to be is like really protected kind of backcountry area where I know that this time of year it's kind of a transitionary sort of spot, and it has a lot of ambush points, and there should be some pretty good moving water around there and everything. So that's what we're looking for. It's got deep edged mangroves where you take one step off the bank from the mangroves and you're in like 5 feet of water. And there's tons of concrete rubble around to help prevent erosion and stuff like that. So I'm kind of excited about this. I used to fish this area. It's the unnamed, which I'm not saying that to, you know, oh, I don't want anybody to find my spot. It's not anything like that. It is actually unnamed. I mean, it's a City of St. Petersburg park, and it actually doesn't have a name. So I call it the unnamed City of St. Pete Park. And it does require, it's quite a haul from the truck to the water is about 200 yards. So definitely we're bringing the wheels with us. And hopefully, you know, last time I was down there, I was saw a lot of redfish, but they weren't cooperating. They weren't interested in eating. I think they saw me before I saw them. And I'm definitely tossing exude crabs. That's the plan. Throwing those around the mangrove edges. There's tons and tons of hermit crabs and fiddler crabs and things like that around that area. And that appears to be the game plan. What do you think, Chuck? Fishing? You need to start fishing slow already, even though the water's only 70?
No. Well, I don't know about for you, man, but over here we've got still so many finger mullet in the river. I'm real reluctant to start slowing down already, but because it just doesn't seem like those fish have started to switch over to that transitional period to feeding on the the crustaceans quite yet. So, yeah.
Well,
I mean, if you got somebody, you agree.
Buddy of mine was up Allen's Creek the other day and said that the redfish were, that he could see standing up in the kayak, where they were all pointing towards shore, and they were all real close to shore, or, you know, along mangrove edges. And he seemed to think, and he was fly fishing using like mud crab patterns and smaller crab patterns, and some, what do you call those permit flies, the permit crab flies, you know, the yarn flies.
Yeah, wait,
Merkins, yeah. And he said that he would drop one of those as close to the bank as he could get it, and the redfish were going after him like crazy. And he had a pretty good day. Now, at the weekend, and this was just yesterday, and now over the weekend, everybody I know of couldn't catch dog dew with a dog dew scoop, okay? They couldn't catch anything. And I think it had something to do with the cold front coming in. And, you know, when cold fronts come in, that affects fish's swim bladders. And I think that has something to do with it. So a lot of folks I know that were out fishing this weekend did not get anything. So it appears that pattern is they've acclimated to the new water temperatures, and we'll see. Hopefully they're on the feed this weekend. Yeah, Chuck, anytime you want to come over, and that goes for anybody in town, shoot me an email. Well, you know, you already know my number and everything. But come on down, and we'll go on over. I want to take you down to that ditch down in St. Pete.
Yeah.
That I was telling you about. There's some... you'd be like, okay, I'm going home to get the wife and the kids, and we're like moving here.
Yeah, man, I'm down for whatever. I really want to start getting over your way and doing some more fishing there, and then down south of you, and I want to try and do some of the fishing up around Cedar Key as well, the inshore stuff. I've done a lot of offshore fishing up there, but I've never done much of the inshore stuff, so... Definitely on my list of things to do, my friend.
Yeah, get out and about. And, you know, I love going to fish other places, man. Even though I don't know that much, you know, you don't know the spots and everything like the locals do, I still love it, man. It's great. You know, it's interesting to see, even though...
I was going to say, that's just it. The whole exploration part of it. I'm really into that, man. I really enjoy trying to do it on my own, you know. I don't usually beat down the doors of the tackle shops and ask around for a whole lot of information. I like to just try to figure it out.
Yeah. And if you're in the same boat that I am, you know, that's the only option I have, is to do it on my own, you know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, yeah, it's a good fishery. It's interesting to me to find places to fish, and you know, even though you're chasing the same species and everything, some of the different tactics that folks use in different regions, you know, and how different colors work, and you know, just different tactics. It's kind of cool. All right, so we're just about to the end of our hour. Anything else you want to add here, Chuck, about cooler water fishing when the cool down starts and water temperatures drop a little bit? What's another good transition spot to look for this time of year?
Well, I'm a firm believer in fishing where the bait is. I know it sounds stupid, but as you were mentioning, your buddy was fishing and he found a bunch of crabs or a bunch of fish pointed towards the shoreline. And those types of things are often overlooked by guys that paddle out in the wintertime, especially over here. I watch guys all the time paddle away from where I'm at, and I'll be basically in 6 to 8 inches of water watching redfish with their backs out of the water push up against the bank trying to eat fiddler crabs. You really got to kind of take your time and assess the situation where you're fishing and see what it is that they're feeding on, and don't just assume because it's cold they're eating crabs. I've seen them when it's cold, still eating mullet and mud minnows and that kind of thing. They may have found them, you know, coming out of a little creek or something, but still. But you know what's more important than all that, man, is making sure that even down here in the wintertime that you stay hydrated. And, yeah, it's cold out, yeah, whatever, whatever, but, man, you still need to make sure you take care of yourself first. So that's
absolutely.
That's another thing. I usually keep a camel pack with me in the wintertime because I do get out and walk away from the kayak quite a bit. So that might be a good, useful tool for you, too.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely, I have, actually I have two. I have a 3-liter and a 2-liter. And those are, you know, for my backpacking days, because you can never pack enough water when you're backpacking. So, yeah, definitely I have those too, man. And that's it's a good idea to definitely stay hydrated in the cold, because I don't know about you, but I forget to get a drink, man, until it's too late. And usually when you're dying of thirst, it's too late.
Yep.
So, Mr. Wheeler, anything to add about transition, fall transition, and cool water cool down, stuff like that, man? What's some good places to look for?
Temperature breaks. this is the time of year where you'll find areas that have colder water mixing with warmer water. You know, and those I like to fish in fresh and salt water. For many and many moons, I've been using the tried and true dip the finger in the water test. get an idea where I needed to go. And then it's just a product of, you know, okay, I found a temperature break. What are they going to feed on? And just throwing a bunch of baits until I figure out the pattern. But, yeah, I mean, this time of year, it's one of those things. It's not the summertime where if you get dumped, no big deal. You're not going to freeze.
Yeah, that's one thing I worry about.
When you go, that little voice in the back of your head, the moment you start doubting the going, listen to that doubt and don't go. I can't stress that enough. Don't I hear about someone getting hurt or having a bad situation because they, you know, wanted to go out and fish and they just knew the conditions weren't right, but they still went anyway. You don't need that.
Yeah, I've done that before, and I definitely learned from my mistake. In the wintertime, I'm definitely worried about that. Of course, I wear my PFD all the time. And I suggest that you do too, everybody. Make sure you wear your PFD. If it's not comfortable, get one that is. I highly recommend the Stolquist. Either the Fisherman or the, what's the one I use? I can't remember its name. It's on the blog. I can't, for the life of me, can't remember. It's like the Fisherman, it just doesn't have as many pockets and attachments and all that stuff.
Who is that?
I don't really.
Is it made by Rob?
Stolquist.
Stolquist.
Yeah, it's right at the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it's a super comfortable PFD. Make sure you wear it. If you got one, make sure you wear it. Don't just stick it in the kayak just because you legally have to. And I believe that is. In a lot of states, you do have to have it on the boat, on your vessel with you. But it's kind of like motorcycle helmets, you know. People are like, you don't have to wear one. You can think of like 50 reasons why. I don't even realize that I have mine on, my PFD on anymore. It's very comfortable, and it does a nice job. All right. Paddling fan took off. All right. We're at the end of our hour. And I am your host, Rob DeVore, A Bad Bat Cast. Check out yakangler.com. And make sure you tune in tomorrow night for Mark Wheeler, the landing crew, and his Mid-Atlantic report. What are you talking about tomorrow night there, Mark?
Don't know yet. you know, probably talk about, you know, tog fishing and, you know, what to expect here in the next, in the month of November, what to start getting ready for now for the month. So that'll probably be it.
All right, cool. Good deal. All right, well, I'm out of here, man. Chuck, Mark, thanks for calling in, and thanks for helping me out, and thanks for the info. And to the Loziers and Aaron and Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi and everybody else in the chat room, thanks for listening, and thanks for coming in and throwing in your 2 cents, man. You'll help a fat, bald guy stay warm this winter being out on the water. So until next week, I'm Rob DeVore, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. Later.